Hello, respective viewers. I'm George Myland. Thank you for coming back to my channel. Well, this year is the centenary of the birth of Frantz Fanon. So that's, it was his birthday, it was back in July, but I'm just recording it now. So in case you don't know, he was a Martiniquois, Black French philosopher, and indeed psychiatrist. So very distinguished person, an outstanding intellectual, polymath, and a guru of the far left of anti-colonialism and so forth. And he tried to blend his psychiatric practice with his political ideology with very regrettable results. Now, obviously, I'm not a psychiatrist, so I can't comment on the accuracy of that. Anyway, he's born in Martinique, which was a French colony, is still a French overseas department in the Caribbean. So he's mostly African ancestry. I think he's a quarter white, coming from a bourgeois family, and pursued higher education. Got to remember just how unusual that was in those days. I think even in Martinique, everyone was literate, even if just to a low level. But these days, like in France, something like 35% of people going on to university, back then it would be much lower, like 1%. And in Martinique, probably below that. So there's no doubt that he was very brainy indeed. And when France surrendered in 1940, the Vichyois controlled many of its colonies, including Martinique. And some of them were viciously racialist. So France didn't have racially discriminatory laws. And the Martiniquois, whether they're Black or white or of mixed ethnicity, they were French citizens. Now, some of the African colonies, those who arrived from France, they're French citizens straight away. But those others could become évolués. People were literate in French and did their French military service. These men could become French citizens. I'm not sure what women just had to be literate in French because some were literate in Arabic. That didn't count. Obviously, go back before 1904, they had to be Christians, and I think specifically Catholics. But anyway, he was a French citizen from the off and went to a school. White and Black children were obviously were together. There was no law against interracial marriage. I'm not saying that there was no racial animus whatsoever. So joined the Free French Army of Charles de Gaulle, and then was in Algeria. And some of the white immigrants in Algeria, the pieds noirs, as in black feet, because I think they come from Europe and their feet were black. Some of them were racialist towards the Algerians. The thing is, the Algerians, some of them are really white. Who's white and who's black? Some people are certainly white, some people are certainly black. Other people, it's not clear. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, nobody's good or bad for being one race or the other, but it matters very much to the racists. But these Algerians, some of them are very pale-skinned, are white. And now, even though their ancestors have lived in Africa for centuries and millennia, they can't be told apart from sort of European whites. And some of the southern European whites are relatively swarthy whites, even from the Mediterranean France. And some of the French citizens in Algeria had actually come from Spain, Portugal, Italy, Malta, and were relatively olive-skinned themselves. And a so-called white person could be actually a swarthier hue than a so-called non-white person who was a native Algerian. Now, an indigenous Algerian could become a French citizen if he or she were literate in French, chose to go for that, did French military service, but very few of them did. And actually, most Algerians were illiterate, including illiterate in Arabic. Some of them spoke Berber rather than Arabic. But yeah, some of the pieds noirs had this contumelious attitude towards les indigènes. And the Algerian Jews had been naturalized as French en bloc in the late 19th century. I can't remember which law was that. Was that the law Ferry? Was it Jules Ferry was behind it? And so on. So anyway, he fought valiantly for France. And even though this was sort of the language of war, the homeland of one of his ancestors, and his way, his spiritual homeland, brought up in school to regard himself as French, taught about French history and geography, and told to find spiritual ancestors, heroes in, the ancient Gauls and so forth. He hadn't actually been there to the age of 20. And many of people in the colonies, that was the case. And they never, ever went to France. But anyway, he found some racialism in the French army and other armies. And that's definitely true. And so then he went back to Martinique and he joined the Communist Party. So he joined a party which is just as evil as the Nazi Party. If you see the genocide the Soviet Union committed, against the Kazakh people and the Ukrainian people of the 1930s. This is the height of Stalin's massive scale state terror. So French colonial rule was rightly criticized. And there was, right after VE Day, some Algerians massacred some Pieds-Noirs in Algeria, about 100 of them. And then some Pieds-Noirs murdered about 10,000 Algerian civilians in one incident. I mean, it's staggering, the scale of it, and nobody was punished. And obviously that is a monstrous atrocity. So there was definitely serious evil committed by France in Algeria. There was a lot of good too, in terms of the civilizing mission. Obviously there's the infrastructure, the roads, the railways, the ports, the airports, and telephones and running water, and eventually television and radio and education, everything else. But, you know, equality for women, abolition of slavery, isn't that a good thing? Secularism, surely these are good things. Any right-minded person would want that. So improving Algeria enormously, as well as it was an invasion. So Algerians could get French citizenship. Very few of them did so, and so forth, representing Algeria in the French National Assembly, making it part of the domestic French state. So France Fanon, the lady who studied at the University of Lyon in France, and not just medicine, but he studied literature, philosophy. He was into theatre as well. And then he even got a doctorate as well. But then Black Skin, White Masks is his most famous work, what it is for black people to almost pretend to be white and things like that, and think that everything associated with whiteness is superior and so forth. He thought there was some sort of psychological and psychiatric impact of imperialism on the colonized peoples. Now, the thing is, many countries have colonized others, and many countries have been colonized. It's not clear what's a country and what's not. What's a country and not what's a region is a very knotty problem. And colonialism is sometimes good and sometimes bad, and it's usually mixed, like almost any other political or economic phenomenon, like liberalism or democracy or capitalism or socialism or public ownership. One more advanced country, for want of a word, will achieve control over less advanced countries by various means, by agreement, by military means, by purchase, by persuasion. So we'll try to improve that country and try to gain something for itself as well. So it's a very mixed record. France itself has been a colony of Rome in the ancient times. Maybe bits of it were colonies of the Vikings and so forth. And obviously, because it's so far in arrear, most people are very objective about this and recognize the tremendous benefits that accrue to France because of the Roman era. And they still cherish that. But there he was, and he supported Le Front de Libération Nationale, as in that Algerian separatist movement. Eventually, he refused to practice medicine in Algeria, shifted to the newly independent Tunisia, and was joined the FLN. He was their ambassador of this FLN government in exile. But the FLN eventually won, but they immiserated Algeria. Independence of Algeria was cataclysmic. Obviously, about 3 million of the Pieds-Noirs left. That was mostly educated people. The FLN had started a conflict which had killed hundreds of thousands of people, wrecked the infrastructure, impoverished the place. Now, counterinsurgencies are seldom gentle, and okay, you're going to kill enemy combatants in a battle and so on. But France's record in Algeria was bad, like really bad. So torture was used very frequently. And like, I'm not going to slap in the face, but really severe tortures and quite large-scale killings of civilians and so on. So that really reduced France's claim to be there for a civilizing mission. Liberté, égalité, fraternité was certainly not accorded to the Algerians. So it delegitimized them. But the FLN came in, and obviously they were told it was going to be cataclysmic, and it was. You see how economically retarded it was, and there was this corrupt clique ruling the country, military dictatorship for a long time. It was really either that or the likes of Al-Qaeda taking over. And the one thing that most Algerians want was to move to France. Oh, the irony. So they've made it worse. But you don't have to blame France for treating them unjustly as well. But France Fanon, he brought disaster on the people he purported to want to help. And that's true of most of Africa, most of France's erstwhile colonies. It was premature. These countries had gone from the Iron Age in the late 19th century, in some cases, to the Jet Age, just two generations later. No other part of the world has ever advanced so far. So much there's a population explosion because food supply had increased so much with modern agricultural methods. And obviously, it'd be much easier to distribute food by road, by railway, by ship, and so on. All that France had built and communicate. And the thing is, people in wherever it was, like Mauritania, hadn't known people in Madagascar existed till the French came along, brought them education and means of mass communication and a common language and French and so forth. And the Algerians, some of these separatists inspired what was happening in Indochina, precisely because they had newspapers and radio that the French had supplied and a language to understand them. So there were these curious commonalities. So Frantz Fanon did not do a lot of public health. Public health got particularly worse after him. But anyway, he died at the age of, I think it's only 36 from a pneumonia, died in the USA, buried in Algeria. So he was married to a white French woman. And yeah, so he's got at least two children. That is Frantz Fanon, who helped to bring disaster on much of Africa. So it's really an accursed legacy. Now, racialism is bad, and there were people who were imperialists or racist, there were people who are anti-imperialists or racist, and so on. And those Algerians who realized that Algeria was much better off staying with France, the Arkis, they fought for that. And so as many of them were murdered after victory, which is terrible, the savagery meted out to them. Goodness. So it was Charles de Gaulle who eventually said, Algeria is not salvageable at any sort of price it's worth paying. It's costing us so much financially. Tens of thousands of troops have been killed. We could win comprehensively, but that'd be hundreds of thousands of troops going to be killed. It's not worth it. We'll cut and run. Probably the right decision, unfortunately, by that stage. And the FLN had wrought so much harm. But as I say, I also castigate the French security forces. Now, every army in a counterinsurgency commits crimes. You can't expect perfection. And, you know, of course, discipline should be enforced. People should be held to account, should be court-martialed or put through a civil trial or whatever for murders and tortures and things like that. But the French thing was on a huge scale, and there was virtual impunity, which is terrible. Fanon, he completely overlooked, really, the very positive legacy of imperialism, which he'd enormously benefited himself. So no one should feel inferior, superior because of his or her skin color or other phenotype. So Frantz Fanon, it's a very loathsome legacy, but unfortunately he is not dishonored as he so richly deserves.